Now we're going to look at our scripture, 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. The word of the Lord says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion." Adversary means opponent. It means the one who opposes. Adversary is the opposer. Now, right there, he makes us know who the devil is to us Christians. Who the devil is to us believers, he's our adversary. He's our opponent. He's our rival. He's our enemy. Okay? Now, be sober, be vigilant, because adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's seeking whom he may tear down, whom he may rip apart. He is that ruthless. Satan is not kind, he's not soft, he's not considerate. The devil is, there's no compassion in him, there's no bone of compassion in the devil. He is ruthless. He wants to tear into pieces. He wants to rip apart. He wants to destroy and destroy thoroughly. Let us understand that. The one who entices us to wrong things, the one who tempts us to do wrong things, the one who tempts us to indulge into the desires of the flesh, that one, he is not kind. He is ruthless. He's cruel. He's ruthless. He wants to destroy and to destroy thoroughly. That's why he says, seeking whom he may devour, not whom he may mollycoddle, not whom he may canoodle with. No, he wants someone that he may devour. Now, this is amazing. He says, seeking whom he may devour. Why? Because it's not every Christian that falls for the trickery of the enemy. You see, believers, we are not the same. Although the will of God for us is one, it is the same, but we are not the same. We don't apply ourselves the same towards the things of God. We don't believe the same. We are not at the same stage of growth in the Spirit as Christians. Now, he's seeking whom he may devour. I pray today that none of us may be the one that he can devour. I pray. Hallelujah. Now, here's the will of God. Now, the will of God says, resist him. Don't be the one that he may devour. Don't be the one that he may tear apart. Don't be the one that he may rip into pieces. Resist him. Don't be the one. He's looking for whomever he may. Now, tell you that the devil does not win all the time. How does the devil win over a child of God? Is when the child of God gives him, allows him access, gives him latitude. Satan is not supposed to defeat a single believer. The devil is not even supposed to defeat the weakest believer. Satan is not even supposed to defeat the newest believer, the newest convert. There is no child of God that is supposed to defeat. Now, the Bible says resist him. That means we can resist him. We should resist him. We must resist him. We ought to resist him. Resist the devil steadfast in the faith. That is very key. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So we're not alone. All other Christians, the devil is the opposer. He's the opponent. He's the adversary. He's the enemy. He's the rival of every Christian in the world. And this is his active nature. That means this is what he does actively all the time against every believer in the whole world. Let us not be surprised. Let us not be shocked when we are fought against by the devil. Let us not be surprised, let us not be shocked when fiery arrows, burning arrows, flaming arrows are thrown at us. Let us not be surprised. This is what he does actively. It is his active nature. This is what the devil does all the time. When the devil looks at you, he just wants to attack you. Why? Because that's his nature. He cannot help it. He has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He cannot help it. When you're having something good, the devil can't help it. He has to destroy it. When you're having a good time, when you're having something that is good from the Lord, Satan wants a hand in it. He wants to take it away from you. He's a thief. He steals. He wants to take it away. He comes to kill, to steal and to destroy. Satan is our opposer, our opponent, our rival, our enemy. He's our arch nemesis. He fights Christians, church. It doesn't canoodle with us. He fights us. He's not here to hobnob with us because we are so special, we are so wonderful, we are so glorious, we are so godly. No, he hates, he just hates us, the sight of us, the sound of us, the smell of us, right? He opposes, he comes against everything that we Christians would do. The devil, he comes against, attacks our every intention, our every thought, our every plan, every intention. Something before it becomes even a thought or a plan, the devil already at infancy, he attacks it. Whatever we set out to do, he fights it, he opposes it, he stops it, he seeks to put it out. He seeks to put it out. Now, this is why Christians, they find that in order to do right, it tends to be very difficult. It is difficult, all right, because of this reason. We have an enemy, we have a rival, we have an opponent, we have an arch nemesis, which is the devil, and is actively fighting against us. He is actively opposing us every time, always, all right? Satan has got no holiday. That's why when we Christian people of God, we have got holiday, not coming to church. The devil has no holiday. Some churches, they close. They've got holiday. They close during holiday. Some churches do. But the devil, his church never closes. Satan's army never closes. It's got no holiday. He actively fights us, attacks us. We have an invisible, a dark, negative force that seeks to nullify. We have a dark, invisible force, negative force that seeks to nullify our good intentions, our good plans, our good efforts. That's why we say, my goodness, I've got something which looks so good in paper, but it does not seem to manifest. I've been trying. I have it. I've consulted on it. It is very good. It's been given thumbs up to say, this is really a great plan. This is bound to succeed. But until now, it has not succeeded. Until now, it's been years and it's there. Please do know there is one who actively opposes these things of us, the children of God. The word of the Lord says, my friends, it says clearly and directly that we should resist and stand against the devil. We should resist and stand against him. This man who is the darkness overlord, he's the darkness overlord who fights and opposes Christians all over the world. We are not alone. It is the same everywhere. I think sometimes it does feel to believers to say, why does it seem like I'm the only one who's having it harder? Why is it that tough times always happen to me alone? Why does it seem like other Christians elsewhere, they are better off than I am? Why does it seem that other Christians elsewhere are not fighting the battle that I'm fighting, are not fighting the war that I'm fighting? No, my friend, it is not like that. It is not like that. He says, this suffering is experienced by your brotherhood everywhere in the world, all over the world. Satan does what it does to one believer, to every believer. What it does to one believer, it does it to every believer. Let us understand that. The only difference, it is our determination to resist him, to stand against him, to fight him off, to defend our territory. That's the only difference between believers. It is how we commit ourselves to God. This is what I was trying to say earlier on before I started the teaching. It is how we apply ourselves to the Lord. Now to say, but other believers, they seem to be doing well. Other believers, they seem to be progressing. Things seem to be working for them. No, it does not mean that they did not or they are not facing the same battle, the same warfare. No, they are. It's your determination. It's the determination of all of us. Hallelujah. The devil, let's understand that he is the enemy of God. So anything that stands for God, anything that is in the name of God, anything that is for the name of God, please be rest assured that the devil is going to attack it. He's going to attack it. If the church is of God, if the church stands for God, if the church is for the glory of God, rest assured that the devil is going to attack the church. If you are called by the name of the Lord, just you being called by the name of the Lord, your identity, the devil is going to attack you. He's going to fight you. So I was saying earlier on to say, to understand what or who resists you from going to church. Why is it for some people it's hard to go to church? Now, if you don't know who you are, you may not be able to tell that it's not what is in me that opposes me from going to church, but it is what is without me. It is a force, a dark force, a negative force from the outside of me that opposes me. We are opposed by the devil for being in the right place and for doing right in God. That's why the devil fights you. That's why he fights me. All right? He fights us for being in the right place. Just for being in the right place in God. For doing the right thing. All right? We provoke Satan by doing the right thing. We provoke the devil by refusing evil. We provoke the devil by refusing wrong things. We provoke the devil by refusing wrong people. We provoke the devil by wanting to do right before God and before men. We provoke him. You don't have to do wrong because the devil is the king of wrong. So he will never fight you when you do wrong. He will never fight you when you go with the wrong people. He will never fight you when you commit corruption. He will never fight you when you commit sin, because that's his turf. That's his territory. That's exactly where he wants us to be. All right? Like a crocodile will always draw you into the water, because that's where the crocodile is most powerful. The devil is most powerful in sin. He's most powerful when we do wrong. He's most powerful when we commit evil. That's exact. Now there he motivates, he even gives the power. He doesn't fight us in that regard. Being opposed by him, therefore, friends, simply means that we are in the right place in the Lord and that we are doing the right thing in the Lord. This is powerful. You know, if we can settle this down, that we are opposed by the devil because we are in right standing with God. Satan is fighting us so much, we are seeing flames. The reason why we are seeing flames, please understand, it is because we are in right standing with God. The reason why we are seeing flames, number two, it is because we are doing the right thing in God. It is powerful to know this truth, because you'll know that when things are coming at you, when things are hitting you, when circumstances are hitting you, when times are hard and difficult, you'd know that it's not the time to give up. It's not the time to be discouraged. It's not the time to throw in the towel. You'd know that. Why am I opposed so much? I have good intentions. You know, we have good intentions to do good, man. You've got good intentions to start a soup kitchen. That's a good thing, but the devil does not want it, does not like it. Now suddenly, since you've started running your soup kitchen, now suddenly financially we are always lacking. Financially we are always in hard times. Why? But before you start your soup kitchen, everything was okay. Everything seemingly was fine with you. But why now that I'm doing the right thing? See, he opposes us exactly for that reason. The devil does not oppose or fight against himself. His kingdom is not divided against himself. Against itself. His kingdom is not divided. He will never fight you for doing wrong. He'll never oppose you for doing wrong. He will always want to entice and to tempt us in that direction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Satan, he opposes, he fights. He resists us for being in Christ and for doing what Christ wants. I'm a pastor. Satan is my arch enemy, my arch rival. He's my arch nemesis. We are sworn enemies. I know it. He opposes us for being in Christ and for doing what Christ wants. When Christ tells you something, when Christ gives you a word, the devil will come and fight it. He wants to price that word out of your hand. He wants to fight it. This is why the Lord says opposition will come because of the word that you hear. It's the word that the devil is fighting against. Because he fights us for being in Christ. He fights us for doing what Christ wants. Satan is not fighting you because you are a bad person. He is fighting you precisely because you are not a bad person. Now you make him angry because you are not a bad person. You make him very angry. He's fighting you because you're a good person. And how are you good? Because the good one lives on the inside of you. We are not good because we are good, but the good one lives on the inside of you. And because of the good one who lives on the inside of you, now we are good. Now when the devil looks at you, he sees the goodness. Now the devil, he fights the goodness. He does not like it. He does not want it. Church, a church of Jesus Christ is fought by the devil, not because it's a bad church, but because it's a good church. Please be mature. I'm teaching maturity. This is spiritual maturity. Satan fights a Christian. He fights a church, not because it's a bad church. He fights it precisely because it's a good church. Precisely. Why is he fighting your business? Because you are refusing to do wrong in your business. Now things are hard in your business. Satan is tightening up the screws so that at some point you break. Can you see that? And the moment you break and commit wrong, that wrong gives him access to come and destroy the whole thing. If it does not destroy the whole thing, he comes and takes control of the whole thing. That's why things are hard. Why are things hard in marriage? Aha. Uh-huh. They are hard because you are good for each other. He doesn't like it. That's why he fights for marriage. Now, because we lack maturity, instead of fighting the enemy, we fight against each other. The reason he wants you to divorce, because you are good for each other, that means Satan is not happy for you to be married. No. This marriage, it hinders him. Hinders his agenda. Because this marriage, it promotes God's agenda. It does not promote his agenda. Now he wants you to divorce so that he can deal with you nice. And the next person that will marry, he wants it to be the person that he pairs you together with. It's the honest truth. That's maturity. That's maturity. And whoever between the two of you gives him leeway, he will enter through that one. Between the two of you, one of you here, the couple, whoever gives him leeway, whoever is not switched on, makes things even worse. Because what we need to do is to close rank. Husband and wife, close rank. Remember the when you watch movies, I think what country, Irish, those guys with the, you remember how they redefined warfare? Remember those days they were using arrows, they were shooting arrows, bow and arrow, they were shooting arrows. And the Irish army, whatever it is, I mean, you know the movies, they would close rank like this, all around, so that all the arrows that are shot, they don't reach anyone. Remember that? Remember those movies? Yeah, those guys redefined warfare tactics. Now, this is a warfare tactic that we need in the spirit, to close rank so that wherever the devil tries to attack, you close rank. Am I talking to somebody? This is something that it's a lesson that we would need time to teach to couples. Teaching them how to close rank. Teaching them why are you attacked. Why it was good when you got married. Why now that you are married there are issues. Why? See the why. Why? Because we divorce good people. Very good people. And we think they are bad people. No. There's someone who attacked the godliness in the mind. That's why I said when you are born again, the mind must be godly. Because it's a new nature. Now you begin to see things as they are, as God sees them. Am I talking to somebody? This is not a marriage seminar. Now, friends, opposition against us believers is a good sign if we read and understand it properly. Opposition, the devil fighting against us, it is a good sign if we read and understand it properly. Opposition is not a signal for us to slow down. It's not a signal for us to stop what we are doing. No. That's why it's opposing. It's opposing our life, opposing our way of life, opposing the progress. Now, if the progress was bad, there would be no opposition. So the fact that the devil is opposing, it means that we are going in the right direction. Can you see that? Opposition is not a signal for us to slow down or to stop. On the contrary, it is a sign for us to push through and to ramp up our good efforts. When we are opposed by the devil, attacked by the devil, we should not slow down, we should not stop, we should not give up, we must be motivated. Motivated to study the Word of God. Motivated to pray, motivated to seek the face of the Lord, motivated to go to church, motivated to serve in church, motivated to do what God is telling you to do. That's what opposition should signal to a sane, mature child of God. Ramp up your good efforts. Be motivated. Push through the opposition. Push through the opposition. Don't allow the opposition to cause you to give up, because to a mature believer, the opposition or attack from the devil, it is a good sign. It is a good sign if read and understood accordingly, read and understood properly, read and understood properly. Friends, Satan tries his best to stop us, to harass us, to wear us out. When you feel like, I'm tired now, I'm tired going to church, I'm tired praying, I'm tired. No, no, he's wearing you down. That's one of the ploys. That's one of the ploys. That's one of the strategies of the enemy to wear you down, like you feel tired. All right? No, 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 no. In Christianity, the more we are in Christ, the more we ought to be motivated. Remember, it's not about how good you start, it's about how good you end. That means the more we're in Christ, the more we should be strengthened. The more we should be motivated. Not the more we should want to give up. Not that it's the more that we should want to quit. No, it's the more that we should be strengthened, motivated. Oh, hallelujah. That's what the Bible says of Abraham, that man of faith, to say that as time went by, while he was waiting for the promise from the Lord, he was waiting for the promise and it did not seem to come, and he was waiting, but the word of the Lord, instead of that man being weakened in the faith, he was strengthened in the faith. You see, now that's a born again child of God. Difficulties, we don't allow them to wear us down. No, 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 no. Instead, they become the waves on the which we surf. That's what it means to a mature believer, to a mature Christian. The devil, he tries his best to cause us to abandon God's way and to abandon God's will for our lives. All of these things is throwing at us, is using against us, is shooting them at us, so that we abandon God's way and God's will for our life. This guy, he tries his best to cause us to give up when we are too close to breakthrough. The devil, he tries his best to cause us to give up when we are too close to breakthrough, too close. Remember, one of the things that the devil likes the most is to torment, to cause someone to break down when they are close to breakthrough. That is tormenting indeed. But nothing satisfies or gives the devil much joy than to see the children of God tormented, tormented. When the opposition gets stronger, it normally is a sign that our breakthrough is close, Pastor Andy. When the opposition gets stronger, it normally is a sign that our breakthrough is close. Our breakthrough is close. In the Bible, we read, friends, that Pharaoh ordered the slaughter of all male children born to the Hebrew women around the time that Moses was born. Around the time he ordered a slaughter. Boy children have been killed in their numbers around the time that Moses was born. Herod, on the other hand, he ordered the execution of all male infants at the time that Jesus was born. What does this tell you? That fiery, fierce opposition almost always signals that our deliverance, that our breakthrough, that our blessing is getting closer. Why? And this is the reason why Pharaoh ordered the slaughter of all male children born to the Hebrew women. Why? Because he knew that the deliverer, the coming of the deliverer, which was Moses, was close by. Okay? The devil knows that. To say there is one that is to be born, and this one that is to be born, he is going to be the deliverer of Israel. But the devil had had Israel under captivity. Now he could sense that the deliverer, the deliverance for these people was getting closer. Now imagine, what is more hurtful? What is more painful? What is more painful than killing your own children? They are ordered to be killed. You carry a child for 9 months. You give birth to the child, is taken right there and then to be killed. This is what as a child of God need to understand. The modus operandi of the devil has never changed. It will get worse. It'll get ugly. The closer it's getting to breakthrough, the closer it's getting to the blessing, the closer it's getting to the victory, it's going to get ugly. As a child of God, you ought to know that it's going to get really ugly. The closer it gets to the breakthrough that you've been waiting for all this time. But sadly, this is also the time that most believers attempted to give up, attempted to throw in the towel. Very sad indeed. They give up when they are so close to breakthrough. They give up when they are so close to the blessing. They give up when they are so close to the victory. They give up when they are so close because they are not discerning people. Job's wife, unable to bear the worsening situation or the worsening condition of her husband, she was tempted severely by his situation that eventually she broke down. Eventually she caved in. Eventually she gave up. She unraveled under the pressure. She unraveled under the pressure. But Job's deliverance was close by. She couldn't take it anymore. That's why she could say to the message, "My husband, I think it's better. I can't bear to see you like this. I can't bear this situation. I really can't stand this. I think now it's a good time that you just curse God and die." You see that? She could not discern that they were close to breakthrough, and they were close to breakthrough at this point. Job was very close to his deliverance at this point. And not just the deliverance of Job, but the deliverance of his family. And obviously this woman did experience the deliverance of the Lord that he gave to Job, that he gave to their family. And obviously, I believe that she repented of this nonsense. This is what we, all of us, we do when things become unbearable. When things become unbearable, we leave the church. When things become unbearable, we leave the marriage. When things become unbearable, we leave the job. When things become unbearable, we leave the business. When things become unbearable, we give up. Now we notice we live, we exist in a perpetual cycle of no breakthrough, of no blessing, of no victory whatsoever, because we give up too quickly, too easily. We are called to fight, not to give up. We are called to fight, not to surrender. We are called to fight, not to capitulate. This is who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, this is what happens when we stand in God for God and we refuse to budge. The devil orders the fire to be heated 7 times more. The more you stand, you notice that things are getting even worse. Remember, the devil ordered the fire to be heated 7 times more? Remember, I said the modus operandi of the devil does not change. It hasn't changed. It is going to get worse just before breakthrough. It is going to get worse just before the blessing. it is going to get worse before the deliverance, before the victory. There's the one thing that we really wait for from the Lord. I always tell people that there is a mother of breakthroughs. That breakthrough that sets you up for life. Now, that's the one that the devil is going to fight the most. And that's the one that we ought to be really determined and never to give up. But friends, let's remember the word of the Lord always. Let's remember the word of the Lord figs, or the word of the Lord says, resist the devil steadfast in the faith. Resist him at all times. Resist him. Not sometimes, but at all times. Resist the devil steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. All of us Christians, we go through the same things. But how is it that other Christians, they break through? That is to tell you that the breakthrough is for all of us. If the attacks come to all of us, the breakthrough is for all of us. If the attacks come to all of us, the blessing is for all of us. The victory is for all of us. That's why the attacks come to all of us. But we can determine whether we go all the way through or we decide to take a detour. We can decide to take a detour. We can decide to go all the way through. Friends, you are not alone and you cannot fail. You are not alone and you cannot fail unless you choose to. Unless you choose to. Listen, friends. Believers before us have defeated the devil repeatedly, time after time. Believers that have come before us. Believers that have come and gone. Believers that have come before us. They have. It's biblical history, biblical record. They defeated the devil repeatedly, time after time. And thus, they glorified their God. We too, friends, we too, we can take heart because we too are ordained and destined for victory over Satan. We are ordained, we are empowered, we've been given the grace. There's a grace of God that we are given. And we are destined for victory over the devil, not once, not twice, but repeatedly, time after time. Repeatedly, time after time. Repeatedly, time after time. We must not give, the Bible says, we must not give the devil a chance. We must defeat him repeatedly, time after time. We must not give the devil a chance. You read that at your leisure. You know the scripture. Ephesians 4 and 27. I'm referencing the Good News Bible. Right? Defeating him repeatedly, time after time. This is what we are ordained and destined for. And like I say, believers that have come before us, they've done this. It's biblical record and biblical history. Repeatedly, time after time, they defeated him. Repeatedly, time after time, they did it. They did it. Satan tried to defeat the man called Job, but the man called Job defeated him resoundingly. He defeated the devil pants down, or maybe hands down. But because it's the devil, it was pants down. He tried to defeat Job. But Job defeated him soundly. 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 He dealt with him a major blow. A major blow that the devil has not recovered from. Why and how? Because to this day, it's still biblical record and history. He will never recover from that. It is still written to this day. Our victories are written in record books in heaven. Victories of the children of God. It is the honest truth. Read it in scripture. Malachi tells us that. Books were open. And it was written for those that decided to stand for God and not to give up. That's how it is. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11:32-34. Now the Bible says, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. These are the people that repeatedly, time after time, defeated Satan. It is written, that's what I'm telling you, that they dealt him a blow that the devil will never ever recover from. Now the Bible says, who through faith they subdued kingdoms. Please, faith is important, then it's key. Who through faith they subdued kingdoms. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They became valiant in battle, not weakened. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens, the armies of the enemies. Now notice, these people of God that are written about here, they did not cower, they did not fear, they did not run away, they did not give up. They stood and they fought the good fight of faith. So God is expecting each one of us to do the same thing. Because all of us are ordained and destined for victory. All of us. They didn't cower, they didn't fear. God does not expect us to cower in the face of opposition, in the face of the enemy. He's not expecting us to run away. He's not expecting us to give up. Hallelujah. These people of God, they overcame the devil and all his schemes. Whatever strategy he threw at them, they overcame him. They overcame him thoroughly. And this is the grace for every child of God. I say this is the grace. This is why he says there is no weapon that is formed against you that shall prosper. There is no weapon that is formed against you that shall prosper. Now the Lord, he says, and their righteousness is from me. God says, I've ordained them so that they defeat the devil, that they overcome him, that they win against him repeatedly time after time. Faith. So this what we just read now, friends, this is the calling of all the children of God. It is the calling of faith. It is the calling of faith. It is the calling of faith. Faith defeats the devil always. Faith defeats the devil all the time. All the time. No child of God born of faith. No child of God born of faith turns their back on opposition and run away. There is no child of God born of faith, who turns their back on difficulties and run away. Not even a single one of them. Born of God. You see, the power does not come from them, it comes from the Lord. It is the new nature that is in them. Faith defeats the devil all the time. No child of God born of faith turns their back on opposition and run away. On the contrary, the faith of God in us, on the contrary, the faith of God that is in us causes us to stand and not to yield ground to the enemy. Causes us to stand all the time and never yield an inch of ground, never yield an inch of ground to the enemy. It is the faith of God in us that causes us to face difficult circumstances without giving up. It is the faith of God, no matter how difficult it can get. The faith of God in us, no matter how difficult, no matter how people might say, the faith of God in us. I say no matter what people might say, no matter what, they can broadcast negativity about you, they can broadcast negativity about us, no matter what they might say, the faith of God in us causes us to face difficult circumstances and never to give up. None whatsoever. This is who we are in Christ. We are destined for victory. Victory is ours. Victory is our birthright. Our birthright. Destined for it. Let's continue. Verse number 35 to 38. Hebrews 11, 35 to 38. Now the Bible says, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured. Can you see that? Please do understand this. They were tortured. It does not mean that God is going to spare us from torture. No, no, no. They were tortured. They went through it. There are things that God will allow us to go through them. He will not always prevent us from going through things. No, there are some things that God would permit. that God would ordain that we go through them. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings. They were mocked. Even when people mock, they mock you, they laugh at you. It does not mean that God is not with you. It does not mean that God has left you. It does not mean that you've made a wrong decision. It does not mean that you've made a wrong choice. Please, people of God, understand. People will mock us. God will permit these things to happen to us. They will say wrong things against us. They will give wrong, evil report about us. Things that are wrong that we don't even know about. Things that we never did. Please do understand that this too is the bread of the children of God. Says mockings, trial of mockings. It's a trial. Trial of mockings and scourgings, being beaten up, being flogged. You see, God did not spare or prevent these people of God, but He allowed them to go through some things. This is important to understand, and I'll tell you why. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment, some of them, they even went to jail. It does not mean that when you go to jail, then you've done wrong. It may be the trial of your faith. Chained and go to jail in chains. That's humiliation. That's what the devil does. That's humiliation, just to humiliate you and to cause you to give up. But do remember, when the breakthrough is getting closer, when the blessing is getting closer, when the victory is getting closer, situations worsen. Situations get very, very, very tough. Number 37, they were stoned, they were sown in two, they were tempted. Oh my goodness, they were tempted. There's nothing wrong with being tempted. Temptations will come all the time. They were tempted, they were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, not having anything. They lacked, they suffered lack. Not having money, not having material things, not having substance, not having anything, not having even houses. You will see in verse number 38, they didn't even have houses. It does not mean when a child of God, as a child of God, that you are lacking, that you are in debt, that you don't have money, you don't have things, you don't have a car, that we are bad, we are not really a child of God. No, it does not mean that. We are going through a trial of your faith. And God, He trusts you so much that He allows you to go through it. And the Lord has empowered you so much that He's confident that you will go through this. Heaven depends on you. Heaven trusts you, has given you the necessary armament for you and I to go through it all. So don't, as a Christian, look down on the believers that don't have today. They may not have the money you have. They may not have the material things that you have. They may not have the vehicle that you have. They may still be using public transport. They may not have the house that you have and where you have it. They may still be renting a shack in someone's backyard, in someone's back house. That does not mean that they are any less children of God than you are. It's biblical. It says they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. Not because people of God are not able to wear the label that you are wearing. They're not able to dress the way that you dress, so you think less of them. No, of course not. Of course not. Being destitute, afflicted, being tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. You see, they didn't even have a place to call their home. Some of us, we may be like that today. You may not have a place to call your home. That does not mean that you're not a child of God. No. Your situation is temporary. I say your situation is temporary. Amen. Your situation is temporary. Amen. You may not have a job now. That means absolutely nothing. Your situation is not temporary. You may still be a tenant today. You are not able to have your own property. That means absolutely nothing. Your situation is temporary. It's temporary. Let us not forget that the Lord Jesus Christ told us that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So don't laugh at the person who does not have today. Let the wheel turn. And it does turn. Turning it does. It's not an if, it's a when it turns. May you always be found on the right side of God when the wheel turns. Friends, faith is unbeatable. Faith is undefeatable. Victory or defeat, success or failure is not what happens to us. Victory or defeat, success or failure is not what we experience. Please understand that. This is what we just read in Hebrews. No, it is not what was happening to them. It is not what they were experiencing. All right? So victory or defeat, success or failure is not what happens to us. It is not what we go through. It is what is in us. That's why the Bible says through faith. Doesn't matter what we go through or experience. What matters is the faith of God in us. Victory is on the inside. Victory is on the inside. It does not matter the fact that right now I may be going through what seemingly looks like defeat. No, that matters not. That matters not. It does not mean that now I've failed the class, the people that are studying. No, that doesn't mean that I'm not a child of God. There are things that God has permitted. Victory is on the inside. Victory or defeat, success or failure is not what happens to us. It is not the things that we go through. It's what is on the inside. You are very rich. As a child of God, even if your bank balance is zero or minus, you are very rich. It is not what happens to you. It is not what you go through. It is what is in you. It's not what is in the bank account. Oh my goodness. Some of us, we are discouraged when we don't have money. Very discouraged. Because we think that money means anything. No. What means everything is what is on the inside of us. Friends, faith overcomes. Faith defeats the devil repeatedly, time after time. Faith overcomes. Faith defeats the devil time after time. We are ordained and destined for victory. We are ordained and destined for victory. In Christ Jesus, the Father leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. In Christ Jesus, God our Father, He leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. In Christ, the Bible says in the New King James, God always leads us in triumph. I just referenced the Message Bible. Says in Christ the Lord, God the Father leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. King James says, in Christ, God always leads us in triumph. Always. Always. Oh, are we now to correct the word of God? Are we now to say, Lord, no, the problem is we think what happens to us, that's who we are. We think what we go through, that's who we are. No, that's not. No, that's not. That is not. The Lord leads us in every place from victory to victory. Friends, it is an unending cycle of victory. I say it's an unending cycle of victory. How to explain this? Stephen was stoned. That's why he says that they were stoned. They were sown in two. They cut a person in two. They sow a person, they cut in two. You know how painful that is? But that, they died in faith. And God says, that is victory. So you see, it's not what happens to you. You see, it's not what you go through. He says, they wandered about in goat skins and sheep skins. They were destitute. They did not have anything. They were afflicted. The fact that we are going through afflictions, it does not mean anything. What means everything is what is on the inside of you. Even the things that you're waiting for, if they are delaying, it does not mean anything. Those things are still yours. What matters is not what is on the outside, it's what is on the inside. On the inside of us. Friends, this is what we ought to always meditate on and fill our minds with. Whenever we experience opposition or hardship of any kind, fill our minds with this. The real knowledge of the victory of God that indeed in Christ the Lord, He leads us in triumph always. Let this be something that fills our mind, something that we meditate on whenever we're going through hardship. And I know that one may say that it's easier said than done. That may be true. That may be true, but remember that no battle, that no war is easy. No, it's not a walk in the park. Nobody said it was going to be easy. The Lord never said it was going to be easy. The Lord did say that I'm going to take you through it. You see, it's not easy. We are not undermining or underestimating the thing that we are going through. The thing that we are going through are really hard and difficult. The thing that we are going through are really serious stuff. The thing that we are going through are not easy. In fact, to tell the honest truth, the things we go through are impossible. Without God, they are just impossible. I say without God, they are just impossible. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you. Let us also remember that the word of the Lord is the sword of the Spirit that pierces and breaks apart the lies that the devil tells when we are going through hard times. You know, there are voices when we are going through things. Omasikowisha, we begin to hear things. And things tell us things. And we tend to give up. In hard times, friends, and in times of temptation, in times of weakness. Hey, people of God, there is a time of temptation. There's also a time of weakness. Please, these are realities of our spiritual life. There are times of temptation. There are times of weakness. Understand that. Don't get shocked or surprised. No. It's part and parcel of our spiritual life. Now, in these times, we do well to listen only to the word of God. Listen only to the word of God and not to the negative, accusing, discouraging voice of the enemy, because the Lord, He never accuses and never discourages us. God never accuses us. To say, because you did this, we are such a bad person. You know the voice that tells you that? Because you cast today, and you shouldn't cast, stop it. But the voice would say, because you cast today, because you were rude to that police officer, because you argued with the police officer, you are so bad. No, there's no voice of God that will tell you that. It's the voice of the enemy. Am I talking to somebody? Because at some point you lost your temper. You know, sometimes you lose your temper. And then the voice says, you see, you are not what you think you are. You are so bad. You are so bad a Christian. Oh, my goodness. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Friends, we must resist. We must stand our ground and take back and defend our territory. We must resist the devil, refuse and oppose him, steadfast in the faith, the Bible says so. We are born again, ordained and destined for victory over the devil and over all his kingdom and power. Imagine that. We are born again, ordained and destined for victory over Satan and over all his kingdom and power. One child of God, one little tiny child of God, has got all this in them. Let us not give up or capitulate. We're definitely closer now than when we first began. We are definitely closer to the blessing, to the breakthrough, to the victory, to our destiny. God has a destiny for us here on earth. He has a destiny for us in heaven. So we are closer to our blessing, to our breakthrough, to our victory, to our the promise of God that God has given to us, that it must manifest now here on earth. There are things that must manifest before we go to glory. We are closer now. I say there are things that must manifest. There is a blessing that must manifest. There is a breakthrough that must manifest. There is a victory that must manifest here now on the earth before we go to glory. And right now we are closer. I say right now we are closer. I say right now we are closer. Let's clap hands for Jesus today. Oh, glory to God. We are closer. We are closer.